Good morning. Are you overwhelmed by the busyness, the complexity of life these days? It's just like you're bombarded by the noise of the world that we live in today. If that's you today, then you're in the right place because we're going to just simplify life over the next few weeks. We're going to talk about how making three simple commitments will reorder your life. It'll give you the ability to say yes to what matters and no to what doesn't matter. And just to simplify life. You know, a business that has figured this out is the Apple Corporation. They figured out how to make complex things simple. The most complex technology, they've simplified it. And they give us these products that they've made, billions of dollars on. iPads and iPods and iMacs and iPhones. And some people talk, well, what's that I mean? Well, some suggest it means internet. Others say it probably means I can do it. I can handle this. It's simple. I can do this. And so today I want you to just think about that. And we're going to talk about these three commitments. And today we're going to drill down on the first commitment that I think is just a key life commitment for a Christian. And it is to say, I commit to celebrate God's Son. I commit to worship Jesus. That commitment right there can just reorder your whole universe. Just change everything. So we want to start there. Because here's the thing. We celebrate what we love. If we love someone, we celebrate that person. If we love something, we celebrate. And another way of saying it is worship. You know, so celebration and worship, very closely connected. We celebrate what we love. We have birthday cakes and birthday candles. We celebrate it. We sing songs and we give gifts. And we celebrate birthdays and anniversaries and national holidays. And these last few days, we've been celebrating the Olympics, right? We've been just like really focused on the Olympics. And so we light torches. You know, we have traditions. We fire fireworks, right? We even get some of our most gifted musicians to help lead us in worship, you know? Yeah, go Mr. Bean, right? Some people don't worship like others. Some have more of a stiff upper lip, you know, like the British do. Hope you'll loosen up a little bit more than that today. But we give gold medals to people, and we celebrate their triumph, and we sing our national hymn together, our national anthem, and tears stream down our face, and we wrap ourselves in the flag, and we shout, and we sing, and we celebrate what we love. What do you love today? What do you love with priority? What do you celebrate? What's causing you to blow out candles and fire fireworks and give gifts? Who are you giving your gold medal to today? Who's number one in your life? Who gets your first place? Today I want to challenge you to make a commitment to give Jesus first place in your life, to put Him first, to love Him with priority. Last week we said that when He invited His disciples, it was a simple call. He said, come, follow me. Not a religion, not a list of do's and don'ts, a person, come follow me. And then today I want us to drill down on this in Mark chapter 12, where people came to Jesus and they said, you know, the Bible's so complicated. It's got so many commands. It's so complex. Could you simplify it for us and just kind of like tell us the one thing that summarizes all of Scripture? He says, I can do that. And then in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, He does this very thing. He says this. Listen to this. This is the greatest commandment, He says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And that's the greatest commandment. He says the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. But we're going to drill down on what Jesus said. They said, could you simplify all of Scripture into one command? He said, this is it, love God with all. And then He tells us the four little arenas in our life that all looks like. So let's do that now. Let's take this apart. Let's look at this simple call to commit to love, to commit to worship God and do that through His Son. First, we have to recognize that there's a cost to this commitment. The first rhythm of worship, and if you think about the word worship, it comes from the old English word worth-ship. The first movement of worship is to recognize that something is worthy, to see that it's worth something. And And so you do that all the time. Before you buy something, do you do what I do? You go online and you Google something, or you look for the best price and you say, let's see what it's worth. And then you begin to evaluate whether or not you'll pay what it's worth, which is the second motion of worship. Recognize what it's worth. Give what it's worth. That's worship. The first movement is to recognize. So what is the cost? Well, here's what Jesus says. The cost of loving him, the cost of giving him first place, of making the first I commitment, is to love Jesus with all. Do you see that? Love the Lord your God with all. With all. With all. Wow, what's that mean? Like, love him and don't love anyone else? Is that what it means? With all? So there's nothing left over for anybody else? Love him with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind. Think about him all the time with all my strength. Well, that can't be it, because the next one is, he says, it's like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So that can't be it. Not like all exclusively so that I hate everybody else or something like that. Not like that. What does it mean, all? To love him with all. I think it means this. I think it means love him first and most. First and most. First and most. Love him with priority. Love him first and then love him most. And I started thinking about this idea of recognizing the cost of loving him with all. Reminds me of what Jesus told the Apostle John when he was writing the book of Revelation. He said, I want you to write one of the letters to Ephesus, the church at Ephesus. I want you to tell them this. I want you to tell them, you guys are doing a great job. You persevere. You hang on to doctrine. You teach good stuff. You know, you hang in there, but I'm holding one thing against you. You've forsaken your first love. You've gotten dry. You don't love me first anymore. Is that you today? Is that you? Do you remember back when you used to love Jesus? When you just thought about him? Do you remember that? Do you still love him first? Because see, this is what, it's amazing to me that that's what Jesus cared about right here. Tell that church at Ephesus. You've forsaken your first love. So love him first and love him most. I think that's implied. I want to give you two thoughts from the Old Testament that might help us with this, because they were being trained to worship, and it was very specific. And there's these two concepts I want to give you from the Old Testament. One is the concept of worshiping him with first fruits. First fruits. We don't live in an agricultural society so much anymore, but they did. And it's the first fruits of your harvest, your income. The first, not the last part, the first part of what you make at the beginning of the month, not what's left over. First fruits, that's the concept. And here's the other concept, the concept of tithing. Let's look at first fruits first. Proverbs says this, Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all. So this is the idea of loving him with all first. And so this idea of first fruits is the first part of your love, the first part of your effort, the first part of your strength, like that. So first, putting him first. And then the idea of tithe, that word literally means a tenth. Now, before you can figure out a tenth of something, what do you have to know? What's the number you have to know before you can compute a tenth? What do you have to know? You have to know what the whole is. You have to know 100%. You have to know that number before you can compute a tenth. Here's the concept of tithing. Tithing is your act of worship, because you're saying, God, you gave it all to me, and when I give you this first fruit 10% tithe back, I'm really saying I'm giving it all back to you. Because as I had to compute what all was, and as I give back a tenth, I'm saying, it's really all yours, but this first fruit tenth is saying, I recognize that you gave it to me, and I'm not asking you to bless the tithe, but I'm asking you to bless me now so that I can continue to give you thanks and to continue to give you worship. But tithing is to be from all that you are, because he has made all that you are and all that you have, like that. So what is it? So this idea of loving God with all first of all recognizes that He has given us all and He is deserving of all, and we give a portion of our lives first, part, and most, like that. Most. Well, what do you mean most, Gary? I love you most. Do you remember when Peter denied Jesus three times? You know, Peter, the rock, right? The rock of the disciples. He denied Him three times, and the third time he cursed. He says, blankety blank blank, I don't know this guy, right? Now, when Jesus got back with Peter, and Peter had taken the disciples fishing again, and they were looking along the coastline, and they looked, and they saw someone they recognized, and John said, that's the Lord. That's the Lord. And Peter got so fired up, he couldn't get to the Lord fast enough, so he dove in the water and swam while they rowed the boat in. And he goes running up to Jesus, like dripping wet. Jesus is cooking some fish there on the beach. He's cooking breakfast. And Peter goes running up, and he goes, did you catch some fish too? And Peter goes, why don't you go back to the boat and get them? And Peter's, oh, right. And he goes and gets the fish, and he brings them, and he brings them back to Jesus, and they're sitting around eating. And this is the resurrected Lord. This is after He's been crucified. This is Him after His resurrection. And they're just looking at Him. Just to look at Him and to see Him. You know, He's cooked breakfast for Him. And He turns to Peter. He doesn't say this. He doesn't say, Peter, man, you really blew it. You denied Me three times. I can't believe it. He didn't say, Peter, I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap, dude, because you cursed God and I heard you. You like broke a bunch of commandments there, used the Lord's name in vain and filthy language. I mean, He didn't say any of that. He said, Peter, do you love Me more than these? I don't know what these was exactly. I wish I could see Jesus' motion. Did He motion towards the fish? Peter, you love fish, and we know anytime you go into default mode, when you're a little discouraged or whatever, you always end up out on the lake fishing. Do you love Me more than fishing? Maybe He meant that. Do you love Me more than these? Maybe He indicated the fish or the boat or the nets. I don't know. Peter, do you love Me more than these? Do you love Me more than your hobby? Do you love Me more than your stuff? Maybe He indicated the other disciples. Do you love Me more than you love them? Hanging out with your buds. Maybe He meant, do you love Me more than they love Me? I'm not sure what He meant. Maybe He meant all those things. But here's the question. Do you love Me more than these? Do you love Me more than your spouse? Do you love Me more than your children? Do you love Me more than your grandchildren, than your house, than your car, than your boat, than your motorcycle, than your job, than your dream? Do you love Me first and most? Count the cost. That's what it means to follow Jesus. You love Him with all. You love Him with all. That's what it means. And then the second rhythm of this idea of celebrating God's Son, the second rhythm of this commitment, you love Him first and you love Him most. And then He begins to break it down into four parts. And He says, if you count the cost and you decide to love Him with all, then give Christ the worship He is due. Recognizing what He's worth, give Him what He's worth. How do you do that? Well, He says, with all your heart. What's that look like? Well, here's a suggestion. Give Christ the first part of your week through passionate worship. Give Him the first part of your week through passionate work. Tithe your week. You get 7 days, give Him the first part of it. Not the last part, the first part. This has been the practice of Christians for 2,000 years. The Jews took Saturday off. They called it the Sabbath because God told them to. He said, I worked for 6 days. I created the whole universe in 6 days, and on the seventh day I rested. So I want you to rest on the seventh day in remembrance of what I've done, but also because you trust Me and that you can take a break and trust Me that I'm giving you everything anyway. So I want you to give Me the Sabbath. But Jesus got up on what day of the week? What day did He get resurrected? First day. He got up on the first day. So what happened was the church said, we're going to celebrate the first day of the week because that's the day Jesus defeated death and came out of the grave And from then on, we've been worshiping on the first day of the week because that marks us. We are the people who serve a risen Savior. Amen? So we celebrate. And so we give Him the first part of our week. And we tithe our week. We give Him one of the... And He says, with all your heart. And so we come with passionate worship. Now for some of you, we can't tell if you're passionate or not, because when you're passionate, you look like the Queen of England. You tell me you're passionate, I trust you. I don't see it. Some of you are one-handed worshipers. Some of you are all the way in the air one-handed worshipers. Some of you are two-handers. I don't know. We all worship in different ways, you know. Worship is not just singing. We're worshiping now. Do you know what we're doing now? We're giving a hearing to God's word, which is worship. We're saying it's worthy of our hearing it. It's worthy of our leaving the comfort of our homes and leaving what could have been just a very leisurely Sunday morning. But now we come away, we mark the first part of the week, and we say, well, I'm going to sing songs, I'm going to give gifts, I'm going to hear the word, I'm going to worship. And all of it's worship, if your heart's in the right place, if you do it with all your heart. 1 Peter says, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. It's helpful to start the week off by getting your heart set on heavenly time. You know how we change for daylight savings time, we change the time? Well, if you get in here on the first day of the week before the week gets a hold of you, get in here and you decide, I'm gonna reset my heart, because it seems like I have to regularly do that, or else it gets set on earthly time. And I start thinking earthly thoughts. Set your hearts on heavenly time. Put Christ as Lord. Now, don't get into the habit, Hebrews says, of forgetting to worship. It says, you know, some people have gotten out of the habit of meeting for worship, but we must not do that. Have you gotten out of the habit? I'm glad you got here today. Today's the beginning of a new habit. Start your week right in passionate worship. You know, worship is like romance. And there's two ways that romance can go wrong. There's probably more than two ways, but I can think of two ways. Two ways that worship can go wrong. One is it can become too ritualistic. It's just a little bit too dry and too much about duty. It'd be like the husband who goes to his wife on the anniversary and he says, my wife, I have purchased these chocolates from Whitman's for you. They have a sampler inside, and you can look and pick out your favorite. I've also brought you these flowers and this very thoughtful Hallmark card. Like that. Now I have done my duty, and I have marked this occasion. We will try this again next year. And some people do that. They go to the church at Christmas and at Easter, and they do their duty. And God should meet all their needs for the rest of the year because they have kept the ritual alive. You know, like, wives, can I get a witness? Would you flush this turkey? I mean, like, what? No, that's missing something. What is it? It's missing passion. It's missing creativity. It's missing the freshness of thoughtfulness that you surprise her, that you do what you used to do before you asked her to marry you, back when you tricked her into loving you. And Jesus says, tell that church at Ephesus, you don't love me like you used to. You don't love me with a first love anymore. You just don't. There's no romance in your heart towards me anymore. There's no burn, you know. So one place we go awry with loving God with all of our heart is that we get ritualistic and dry about it. We go through the motions. We handle the holy things in a flippant manner. And the other thing we do is we just don't do it at all. That's the other place. We just let the romance leave the relationship, and we just fail completely to mark the moments. Have you decided today, will you? Let me put it like that. Will you decide today to recognize what Jesus is worth and then to give Him your heart? Give Him your heart. Give Him your love. Give Him your passion. Set your heart on Christ as Lord. And then here's the second movement that he calls us to. He says, if you see that Christ is worthy of it, give him all your heart in love. But then he says this, love the Lord your God with all your soul. With all your soul. Here's a way you might do that. Give Christ the first conversation of your day through focused prayer. The soul implies your spiritual reality. The soul is that part of you that communes with God. It's unseen. You can't see your soul, but it's the part that has eternal value and that you commune with God. And so, tithe your first conversation. Give him the first conversation of the day. Before you even talk to yourself or your dog. I know you got to let the dog out. Before mommy, before the two-year-old calls your name, mommy, maybe the minute you hear that, because that could be your alarm, before you go get him, say, Jesus, help me. Help me again today. I mean, you might not be able to say much because we all go through different seasons of life, don't we? There are seasons where you can give him more time. But here's what I'm saying. You should always give him your first time, your first conversation. It's amazing how when you talk to Jesus first, it kind of does something to your tongue for the rest of the day. It kind of changes the way you talk to your two-year-old, your spouse, your boss, your coworker. If you start off by talking to Jesus first, it affects how you talk to everyone that day, that you speak words of prayer to him, and they don't have to be too complicated. They just have to be fresh and real, and you just have to say, Jesus, you know, like the simplest prayer you could pray is maybe the Jesus prayer. You heard of the Jesus prayer? Jesus, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's the Jesus prayer. Jesus, have mercy on me. That might be all you can get out of your mouth that day. But I suggest that you should start your day. See, Jesus did this. It says in Luke 5:16, Jesus would often go to some place where he could be alone and pray. He had a practice of starting off early in the morning, going to a solitary place and praying. Look at Mark 1:35. Very early in the next morning, Jesus got up and went to a place where he could pray, be alone and pray. This was a practice of Christ's. If Jesus needed to do it, we probably need to do it too. Here's what he said in John. He says, I assure you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does. For the Father loves the Son and tells him everything he's doing. Here's what Jesus is saying. I got to get with the Father every morning so I know what to do. And he tells me what to do, so I get with him. And he's the Son of God. And he wants to have that kind of relationship with us. So you give him the first conversation. You give him the first conversation of every day and focus prayer on you. You say, Lord, help me today. Lord, be with me today. I just want to put you first. Some years ago, when I first married my wife and my father-in-law finally accepted me in the family, he called me, hey, you, and college boy the first 5 years. But after we had Stephen and he realized, okay, this guy loves my grandchildren, he finally started calling me by my name. One day, he really trusted me. We were up at the house. They lived up in the country above Roanoke, Virginia, up in the Blue Ridge Mountains. Beautiful, beautiful place. He had these pine trees growing down that he had planted on both sides of his house that were kind of like a windbreak because it's so windy up there in the mountains, you know. And he said, I want to show you something. So we got up early one morning, and we went down towards the pine trees, and we went down to this place in the pine trees where there was kind of like a room. It's kind of like a round space in the middle of these pine trees. And he had taken an old swing that used to belong to his children, and it was all old and rusty, but all the little swings were gone from the children's days there. But he had taken a porch swing and hung in the middle of it, and it was right there in the middle of the pine trees. He goes, sit down. So we sit down. I said, yeah, I've seen this in here before. He goes, yeah, but watch this. Feel that? It's kind of a breeze. You hear the pine trees kind of making a scratchy sound. He goes, look up. You look up, you can see the blue sky and the clouds floating by. And that's really all you could see. If you looked around, all you could see is pine trees. You could feel the wind. If you looked up, you could see a distance. And he goes, this is where I talk to God. You can use it whenever you need to. I said, I think I'll do it now. You got a place like that? Have you got a place like that? You need to find a place like that. Maybe you don't live in the mountains and maybe you don't have any pine trees, but you can find a place that you go and talk to God and give Him the first conversation of your day. It'll make every other conversation go better. You can't give Him every conversation. There's other people to be talked to. Giving Him all means giving Him first and giving Him most. So let's do that. Here's the third way He says to love. He says, love Me with all your heart and with all your soul. And then He says, with all your mind. And in other words, give Christ the first thought of your day through biblical meditation. Some have said that Christianity is a blind leap of faith, but I disagree. I disagree. I think it's a step of faith based on the reality of God's Word that we place our faith in an object, that we believe that the Bible is the revealed Word of God and that it's true, and so it's not intellectual suicide to become a Christian. In fact, Christianity, Christ Himself, invites us to love Him with all of our minds. He says, I am deep water. You can plunge in here and you'll never figure out the depth of it mentally. It will be an intellectual pursuit that will feed you the rest of your life. It's the queen of the sciences. Theology is the deepest well. We can study the whole universe, but it's even deeper to study the One who made the universe. He says, love Me with your whole mind. Meditate on it. Think about it. It's worthy of your mind. It's worth thinking about. Give Him the first thought of the day. What would that look like practically? How would you do that? The psalmist, the first psalm, verse 2 says, His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law He meditates day and night. He meditates day and night on the Word of God. He thinks about it. He meditates. And if you want to get at that Hebrew root word, you can look at the Message translation, which gives a good kind of reveal of where the word meditate comes from. The Message says, instead, thrill to God's Word. Chew on Scripture day and night. Chew on it, because the word meditate in the Hebrew comes from an agricultural origin. It's a description of a cow chewing its cud and getting all the nourishment out of the grass that it eats. So it just chews and chews and chews until it gets every nuance, every little bit of nutrient out of the grass. Now listen, humans can't do that. We can't live on grass. We would starve. We can't get the nutrients. And so it's better to eat the cow. Medium rare. Better to eat the cow. But God made the cow so He could eat the grass, right? And so the grass, He chews on it. And so that word meditate means to chew on it until you get every little bit of the nutrient out of it and feed your mind. Love God's Word. Do you love God's Word? Do you love God's Word? Because it's a mark of loving Jesus. You love Jesus, you'll love His Word. That's why you're here today. See, we're worshiping Jesus through the ministry of His Word. I love to hear God's Word proclaimed. I love to read it. I love to study it. I love His Word. Do you love God's Word? Do you love Him with your mind? And now, if you want to meditate, it's helpful to memorize. If you want to chew on something, it doesn't mean like this, like that. Those of you that have those literal ways of thinking. No, it means to put it in your mind and let your mind chew on it. Let your mind. Now, how do you do that? Well, you got to get it in there. Here's a good memory verse, because listen, one of the ways you chew on God's Word is you memorize God's Word. Okay? Psalms 119:11. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against Thee. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against Thee. Psalm 119:11. That could be your first memory card. Help you get started on memorizing Scripture. And then you can meditate on it and you can think about it and you can deepen your understanding of Scripture. Let me give you some practical tips right here. Every day of the week, we have something on Facebook called the 1 Year Bible Readers Club. And it's a Facebook fan page, and I manage that page, and I try to make a statement or a quote there about something I read that day. I invite your thoughts. If you're reading, you put something up there. or comment on what I commented on. But it's just kind of a way of saying, okay, I read this much of God's Word. And if I read that much every day, I'll read the whole Bible in a year. And this is our seventh year that we've had a one-year Bible reader's commitment. Well, Gary, do I need to wait till January 1? No, you can start right now, and then you'll finish next year at this time. You know, just start whenever you can start, but start reading the Bible every day. Start memorizing Scripture. Start putting it in. You've got to put it in order to chew on it. Here's the fourth arena that he calls us to. Love the Lord God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, then with all your strength. All your strength. Give Christ the first part of your substance through joyful offering. Give him the first part of your substance. What does it mean to love God with all your strength? Well, does that mean like do like Jesus push-ups? Does that mean like, you know, like Holy Spirit curls? I mean, what does that mean to love God with all your strength? What does that look like? Well, see, here's what your strength does. It produces. Your strength produces. It serves, it works. When you love God with all your strength, that's the product of your strength to love him like that. And so you love him with what your strength does physically. That's a physical reality, right? So if you love him with all your strength, I think one of the ways you express that is by giving him a portion of what your strength earns. And that's what money is. It's a way of having a metric for what you've put out, time and effort. And you've earned this, but yet you haven't really earned it, because if God hadn't given you this body, and if he hadn't given you that job and that opportunity and that ability and that gift, then you couldn't earn. So everything comes from God. Everything comes from God. And so when you give him the first portion, you say, well, I recognize this is the whole thing, and I'm going to give you the first part as recognition that I'm thankful for the whole thing. And my worship is, I love you with my strength. And so I bring my tithe on the first day of the week. I bring it to church because that's worship. That's worship. I worship you because I recognize that you're worthy of all. And I worship you with my strength, like that. Proverbs 3:9, honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. 2 Corinthians talks about the attitude of your heart when you give. Make up your own mind as to how much you should give. I'm not telling you how much. I'm teaching you the principle, the practice of loving God with your strength. You get with God and you talk to him about what is the whole and what's the first and the best portion that I would give you and honor you so that I'm worshiping you with my strength. I'm loving you with my strength. So decide that before you come to church. Don't come here and go, ah, he guilted me into it. Then you're not loving him. You're not doing it out of love. You're doing it out of duty. You're doing it because your wife reminded you forgot her birthday. You're doing it because the preacher reminded you that you forgot to love God. No, that's Paul saying, make up your mind. Think about it. Don't do it reluctantly or in response to pressure. Do you see the verse? For God loves the person who gives cheerfully. That's the attitude of your heart. Greek word, hilarismos. It's where we get the word hilariously. Give till it cracks you up. Give from a hilarious heart. Like, this is crazy. You give me everything. I'm giving you this back, and I know I can't outgive you, because when I give you this back, you give me more. There's no way I can. You give me everything, and so I just trust you because I love you with all my strength. And if you give generously, he'll provide all you need. And you'll always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. That's the attitude he wants you to bring. Malachi gives us a promise. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. This is the only place I can think of where the Lord invites you to give him a test. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you'll not have room enough for it. Give him, worship him with your strength. Celebrate Jesus with your strength, with your essence. Give him what he's worth. Have you done that today? Have you made this commitment? Have you said, I commit to put Jesus first? I recognize that he's worthy because he died on the cross for my sins. He rose from the grave and lives today. He's the Son of God. He's worthy of my all. He's worthy. And then having recognized his worth, What's the only appropriate response to give him what he's worth? And so I'm going to give him all. I'm going to give him my whole heart. Here's my heart, Jesus. My passion. I'm going to love you first and foremost. I'm going to love you more than I love anyone else. I'm going to love you first and most. It's going to guide all of my relationships. I'm going to love you first. I'm going to love you with all my soul. In other words, I'm going to pour my soul out to you, that I rely on you spiritually. Lord, I love you with my mind. I'm going to think about you. I'm going to get to know you better. Lord, I love you with my strength. I want to serve you. All that I have is yours. Have you ever done this? Or maybe as you're listening, you're thinking, I didn't fully do it. I'm holding this part back. And today would be the day where you go, all. I'm all in. I'm all in. Would you pray with me right now? And let's get this straightened out. Lord Jesus, there are people in the room right now, first of all, that have never committed to follow you. Lord, would you speak to their heart right now? Is that you, friend, right there where you are? Would you say, I invite you to come into my life. I know that you're the Son of God. I believe it. I confess you as Lord. I know you died on the cross. You rose from the grave. You live today. I believe it. Come and live in me. Forgive me of my sin. I give you all my life. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. That's you, friend. The Lord's ready and willing to save you right now and to come into your life. Others are here today, and you've prayed a prayer like that. You've asked him into your heart, but you held some parts back, or later on you pulled some parts back, and you don't love him with first love anymore. Your love's grown cold or dry. You're not reading his word like you used to. Your heart's not in it like it used to be. I don't know. You've been unfaithful with your gifts, with your talents and your treasure and your time. I don't know, but would you confess it to the Lord right now and say, Lord, forgive me. I'm not going to hold anything back. I'm all in. I commit my life to you, Lord Jesus. And all of God's people said, Amen.